fun is fun, but not. Good morning, everyone. Everyone awake? Day 4 of MMS? Still alive? Who's won money from the casino? Who's lost money from the casino? Nice, nice. So good morning, everyone. My name is Adam Hall. I sit inside, as you can see from my title. I work for Microsoft. I'm a product marketing manager, previously known as a technical product manager. We all got renamed. I sit inside the Windows Server and System Center product group. My role is to own the application scenarios across the Windows Server application platform, the application management scenarios of System Center, and the management of Windows Azure applications as well. So got a fairly broad portfolio. With me on stage is Michael. I'll let Michael introduce himself.
Hey, guys. Welcome again. Welcome to the, I think, the only SharePoint-related session here at MMS. My name is Michael Frank. I'm a technical team lead for Provoke Solutions. Provoke Solutions is a premium .NET and SharePoint development company in New Zealand, and we also have an office in Seattle. I myself have been working with virtualization projects and SharePoint deployments over the last 5 years, so when Adam came along about 6 months ago and asked me to do a session about SharePoint as a workload in the private cloud, I said, yep, gonna do that, and now I'm here.
And as you can see, I really did ask Michael about 6 months ago to start building this, and it's taken that long. So what we're going to do is go through running SharePoint in a private cloud. And I'm going to set up what we mean by running workloads in a private cloud. SharePoint has some rather unique characteristics that make it challenging to run in a private cloud, the way the architecture of SharePoint runs, the SharePoint code base itself. And so what I've asked Michael to do is to put together how SharePoint runs in a service template inside Virtual Machine Manager in a private cloud. It's not easy, but it is absolutely possible. Okay, so I'm going to do a little bit of setup and just set the scene, and then Michael's going to take you through the actual building of it, dive into how we did it, and show you how we actually can achieve it. Okay. So what do we mean by the workloads and applications inside a private cloud? We boil this down to four things. The first one is abstraction, and this is server app V. And no, don't stand near the speaker. So server app V allows us to encapsulate, just like desktop app V, a server-based application and run it on a server. It moves it away from the operating system, takes it apart, and it allows you to run it in a bubble. SharePoint does not work in server app V, and it will not work in server app V. Okay? And that is the challenge, is that when you move into a service template and you're not using server app V, things are a whole lot harder. And it means that you've got to get into PowerShell, it means you've got to get into scripting and automation and things like that. And so when we show our service templates, we typically use server app V and we use applications that work. A large number of applications will simply work in server app V. It covers things like WMI, it covers COM, it covers COM Plus, SQL Server reporting services is captured, Java applets, all the services, the files, the registries, all that kind of stuff is captured inside server app V. SharePoint does some interesting things under the hood in the way that it interacts with IIS and the way that the code base actually runs, which means that technically it is not supported inside server app V and it technically doesn't actually work in server app V. So that's the kind of the purpose of this session, is to show you guys how to do this. The service template itself I'm going to step through is a way of standardizing an application deployment. It allows for it to be repeatable, it allows for it to be consistent, and it allows for an agreement to be made around the service levels that you want for the deployment of that service. Things like scalability, things like availability are defined inside the service template. Then once it's out there, application performance monitoring, SharePoint will give back server-side application performance monitoring information. So if you look at the information that you saw in the keynote, demo 3 that we built, that was server-side information about what's happening at the back end. SharePoint will not give you client-side application performance monitoring. It doesn't support that functionality either. And then from a control point of view, App Controller is simply an application self-service portal that allows you to subscribe or be delegated out at capacity and the ability to deploy those applications. So that's just a quick scene set. The service template itself, I'll just build this all out so you can take a look at it. The service template can be anywhere from 1 to N tiers, okay? One tier application, obviously pretty simplistic, but when you've got multiple tiers, the three examples that I've got here, the web tier, we do web deploy packages, it allows us to put out, every tier has a hardware profile, and the hardware profile specifies the capacity of that virtual machine, how much CPU, how much RAM, how much disk, which VHDs get attached, all that kind of information. When we move into an application and data tier, We have the Server AV packages or the MSI packages, whatever you're using there, and OS profile. And I'm going to show you what the OS profile looks like. The virtual machine manager and a service template, even if it's just a single tier, allows you to define all the roles and responsibilities for that server. So you have a single template and allows you to pump out things like IIS. Every role and feature inside Windows Server becomes a tick box. And then from a data tier, we can do a dynamic deployment of SQL Server as part of a service template. So you can install SQL Server inside the service template and automate the install of the SQL Server itself and then attach the databases through DACBACs. All of that information is held inside the service template library. And then that service template as an entity becomes a single thing with all of those resources that are encapsulated inside. Okay? Just a quick scene set. So I'm just going to do a quick show and tell to bring that together. So the service template, this is what it looks like in the designer, and Michael's going to go through how we build these things out. This is the one that we used in the keynote. We had the expenses manager running, and you can see we have a few things. One is the definition of the name and the version control of the application. What version of this application or this application template are we dealing with? We can do updating with service templates, and we could change one element of the service template and redeploy that, and it will only update the components that actually changed. So if you only change the web deploy package or the server AV package or one element, it will simply decouple that, update it, and bring it back up again. We also have a concept of upgrade domains, which means that that's the number of instances of the app that always need to be available. So if you have, two upgrade domains, it means that two instances of a tier are always available. And when you upgrade, it will ensure that those two are always available, and it will spin up an additional tier, update it, and then tear it back down again. So inside these, and I'll just do one quick example and then hand over to Michael. When you take a look inside these tiers, you can define all those things that I just talked about in terms of its hardware configuration, the operating system configuration, and how the application itself actually runs. Waiting for that. The server's running a little bit slow. So the hardware configuration is exactly that. This is a standard virtual machine level information. What type of hypervisor are we running on? Is it Hyper-V? Is it Xen server? Is it ESX server? Processors, memory, VHD attached, those kind of things. Pretty standard stuff. The operating system configuration is where things get interesting. We can dynamically create the computer name. Those hashes that you see up on the screen are increments that of a number. So I've got two hashes, so the first deploy will be 01, 02, 03, 04, and so forth. So as you scale out, as you add additional instances, as you redeploy multiple versions of the application, it will simply increment that number for you and pipe that number into the operating system as it deploys. You can pipe in things like the local administrator password so you can manage it. You can inject the product key so you can activate, set time zones. You can also set which version of the operating system is to be deployed here. And then where things get really interesting is the ability to tick box the roles and features of Windows Server that you require to deploy this application. These tick boxes are all driven off the Server Manager. If you launch Server Manager on a Windows Server and add a role, these are the options that you get all the way down. I think if we scroll down to the bottom, this one requires some IIS components installed on the server before you can install the application. Same for features. .NET Framework is a common one that needs to be deployed. Defining which domain it's going to join and which credentials to use. Virtual Machine Manager uses a concept of run as accounts, as does Operations Manager and other parts of System Center as well. And what this is I have no idea what the domain administrator account is or the password. All I know is I have rights to use it. So somebody who knows the user account and password types it in, it is saved encrypted in an encrypted database. That I can then call that and be delegated the rights to use it. So that means that I might delegate out the right for Michael to use that domain account, but he has no idea what the account actually is or what the password is. So if someone leaves, they've got no idea what the credentials were that were used to deploy the application. Within the application itself, we have the ability to have different components, whether that is a SQL Server data application tier, a virtual application, a web application, and Michael's going to spend a lot of time showing the scripting. So being able to run scripts before and afterwards. A great example of this for Server AV is before you can deploy a Server AV package, you have to deploy the agent that allows you to mount it. So we run a pre-install script which says install the Server AV agent, then we deploy the app. Okay, so basically that's the way that we can do it. All of that gets sequenced and brought together. Once we have that, the service template is then used to deploy, and once it is deployed, it comes out, and in Virtual Machine Manager, we can see all those different tiers deployed. We can see that they are running, and we can update those and move them forward. So that's just a very quick background on what we mean by applications, what a service template is, how it comes together. And at this point, I'm going to hand over to Michael, who's now going to show you how we do this with SharePoint.
Cool. Right, let's talk about SharePoint as a workload in the private cloud. Just one thing to mention, you hear I have a bit of a weird accent. My company is in New Zealand, but I actually am from Germany. About 7 years ago, I developed some kind of humor and then left Germany and went to New Zealand. If you want to stay in contact with me, feel free to send me an email. You can send me an email to michael.frank@provoke.co.nz, and I also have Twitter. I use Kiwi Buyer. Kiwi, which is the national animal of New Zealand, and Bayer means Bavarian, which is the area in Germany where I'm from. If you put those together, it would look like this. Kiwi in Lederhosen drinking too much beer. Whenever this little Kiwi comes up, the first guy who screams out Kiwi gets a present from me. I got some New Zealand chocolate there, and I got some Vegemite. I'm not sure if anybody likes that, actually. All right, so what is the session all about? So Adam already did the introduction. The session is all about SharePoint as a workload in the private cloud, and it's actually aimed at anybody who deploys a large number of SharePoint environments over and over again. So it's aimed at anybody who wants to actually automate the whole SharePoint deployment from the point where we install the machines to the point where we actually have a web application up and running. The whole focus of this presentation will be largely how we can deploy the SharePoint farm as a service with Virtual Machine Manager 2012. I will talk about what's different between a SharePoint web application and a typical web application like the one Adam just showed us. I will then tell you what you need to consider before you actually build a SharePoint service template. Then I will need to talk about what you need to consider before you actually deploy an instance of this SharePoint service template. And in the end, I'm going to talk to you about how we can actually manage the instance of the SharePoint farm once it is deployed. Quick question. Last time anybody installed a SharePoint farm completely from scratch, how long did it take you? Roughly? Number? Anybody?
A day?
I go with a day. So I'm actually going to do it live here on stage.
3 hours
with the orchestrator. Pardon? 3 hours with the orchestrator, yes. If you would do it manually, it normally takes you about 6 hours, 4 hours, depending how much automation you get. So I'm going to deploy a SharePoint farm live on stage with Virtual Machine Manager. I'm just going to start it up. So that's my template. I already pre-configured it with server names and everything. So all I'm going to do now is basically start to deploy the service. And it will now run in the background. The server should be deployed on my laptop in about 20 minutes. After that, the SharePoint configuration will kick in. And then it's going to take about another 20 minutes till we actually are able to see the web application. Once it's deployed, I'm actually going to jump back into the service application. I'm going to scale it. I'm going to add another web front into it, which in the end will be load balanced. Awesome. Cool. So let's talk about SharePoint as a workload. When I talked about this to our project managers and to our clients, and I asked them what they would expect, they had kind of this dream of SharePoint in the cloud, that there would be a way how they could press one button, and after they pressed that one button, some magic happens, and then half an hour later, an hour later, they would have this really cool, great service application and great web application up and running to their customization. But we all know that doesn't work. We all know there's a lot of stuff that actually needs to happen first. So we need to deploy the services, we need to deploy SQL, we need to deploy the web front end and the application servers. We need to install all the updates for the service. Then we need to think about scaling, how we're going to scale the SharePoint service. Sorry. Did I fail? we need to think about how we're going to scale the web application and the web front ends. And in the end, we need to customize the whole SharePoint environment. But yeah, our customer only wants to have this one button deployment. So what are our challenges? So our first challenge compared to other web applications is that SharePoint is stateless. Normal web applications are stateful, meaning we have a, or we can package them up, as Adam said in the beginning, we can package them up and we can deploy the whole package during the service creation. Now, we can't do that with SharePoint. SharePoint, the way how SharePoint works, you actually deploy the SharePoint binaries, and then once all the servers are deployed, you start the creation of the SharePoint farm, and you have some customization in the background that just makes SharePoint stateless, so we can't really do the normal way. Our second challenge is that every SharePoint environment that we normally deploy will in some way be different from each other. So in SharePoint, we would have a different feature set on the different environments. We would use different service applications, and we would have different custom solution files that we will deploy to the different SharePoint environments. Rod already talked about this. The SharePoint architecture is also a challenge, as it is highly scalable. We can scale the web front ends, which is similar to a normal web application, but we can also scale the application servers. The way how SharePoint actually scales the application servers is totally different because we can assign different service applications to different application servers, so we can't use network load balancing to actually load balance the load between the application servers. We need to have SharePoint to actually do the load balancing for us. So all these points together make this one-button deployment kind of impossible. So to automate the whole process, what we actually need to do before we actually start thinking about deploying a service template or an instance of the service template, we actually need to gather all that information about the customization and about the environment first. So we need to add a step before that one-button deployment, which can be some kind of self-service portal or another application. Cool, so we then capture all that information, we click the one button deployment, and during the deployment, we want to capture all that information and slipstream it into the deployment, and we'll show you later how that is done. Once we have the whole web application up and running, the latest challenge or the last challenge we're going to face is how can we actually deal with the SharePoint lifecycle? Because SharePoint is stateless, we can't just update the service template like we would do with a normal web application. In a normal web application, we would go into the service template, we make a change in the service template, and then we push out the update to all the deployed instances. Now, because SharePoint is stateless, we can't do that with the service template, so we have to find a different way to actually make that happen. All right, let's talk about a normal, what was that? Hey, do you want chocolate or Vegemite? Cool. Let's talk about a normal SharePoint deployment. A normal SharePoint deployment, we normally have four pillars to go through. First of all, we need to think about our whole infrastructure and all the supporting services and systems. So in there we have our Active Directory, our DNS system, all the service accounts that we will need for our web application pools and our service applications. We have our users in there, our groups, and we normally have a mail system that will support the SharePoint environment. After that we look at the networking side. So that's still supporting systems. In there we have our network, we have our firewalls, we have our DHCP servers and the IP address management, all our Hyper-V servers and our Hyper-V clusters, our storages, our storage servers, and our network load balancing or hardware load balancing. Once all the supporting systems are up and running, we then look at the actual OS layer and the binaries layer. So those are the servers that we actually deploy SharePoint on and deploy the SQL server on. So those will In that stage, we will deal with the Windows servers. We will patch the Windows servers. We install the latest service packs on there. We will install the SharePoint binaries and the service packs. We will install the SQL server and prepare the SQL server. And then you install any other third-party applications that you might want to install. Once that all is done, we then finally come to SharePoint. So the first thing in the SharePoint configuration is the SharePoint farm. So firstly, we create the SharePoint farm. We create some configuration databases. We create some configuration databases for the SharePoint services. We decide what farm features we want. We create a central administration page, and we're going to deploy the first application server and the first web front end. And then finally, we get to the last SharePoint customization, where we would deploy a SharePoint application, the web application, the site collections, any custom solution files that we might want to deploy. We deal with the site features, and we add some content to the sites. Cool. So let's talk about how we can automate all these processes. The first column, the whole AD stuff, you probably already have some ways to do that, so I won't talk about this because we all have our own means, our own tools that we do. You can do it either manually or you have workflows in place. You might have System Center Orchestrator, or you're like me and you use a lot of PowerShell scripts. The second column that should be really familiar to us right now, so that's what we're listening to in the last 3 days, networks, firewalls, DHCPs, our Hyper-V servers and the clusters, the storage, and the network load balancing. That's all part of the private cloud. So with Virtual Machine Manager, we can now create a private cloud, and we can actually manage this whole tier with Virtual Machine Manager. The next tier, Windows servers, the SharePoint binaries, the SQL servers, the update and the service packs and the host configurations. So that's partly old and partly new. In old Virtual Machine Manager, we could create a VM template. In the VM template, we install our Windows servers. We would install our SharePoint binaries, and afterwards, we would first prep the machine and would be able to deploy that service template, or the VM template. Now, Virtual Machine Manager takes it a step further. We now can create a service template. In the service template, we can combine various virtual machine templates, and we can add a network from the private cloud, and we can add the storage, and we can actually add the network load balancing. So this tier will all be managed by Virtual Machine Manager as well, and we do it via creating a service. And the whole SharePoint side, if you dealt with SharePoint before, if you automate SharePoint, there's only one way to do it, and that's PowerShell. There's no way around it. We just do everything via PowerShell. Great. As I said, I won't deal with the whole Active Directory side. I'm pretty sure you already went to some sessions where you saw how to create a private cloud. But what I'm going to start with is how to actually create a SharePoint service template. So what do we need to think about before actually creating a service template for SharePoint? So first of all, we need to find out what kind of architecture the service template should have in the end. And to find out what kind of architecture we want to deploy with the service template, we need to have a look at the deployment scenario. Nobody saw the kiwi? No? I'll give you a chocolate. So we need to think about the different deployment scenarios for SharePoint. And there are millions of different deployment scenarios out there. I just put a few together. First one would be, for example, a development company like us, like Provoke. We develop or we push out probably like 10 to 15 SharePoint farms each week. And we needed to have a way to actually do that. In our scenario, we put the web front end, the SQL server, and the application server all on one virtual machine. They're all in the same domain, so we can reuse some of our service accounts. We normally don't do a lot of customization on there because our developers will do that in the end. Next scenario would be a deployment for internal development. So that might be one of our customers who has its own private cloud and their own developers. And they want to actually have a development scenario or development environment where they can just deploy new web farms over and over again and test their code. So again, it would be in the same domain. In this scenario, they probably would have a shared SQL server that sits outside of the service that the service internal machines can call. So they save some money there. The farm will be created always with the same SharePoint settings, so we do not need to do a lot of customization during the deployment, which will make it easier for us when we do the script. And there will always be the same SharePoint customization within the web application. Again, that will make it easier for us when we actually configure the script later on. Scenario three, which is really, really interesting, that would be somebody who would actually sell SharePoint as a service to external customer. In that scenario, we would deploy a three-tier environment. Really interesting here is that we need to now deal with different domains, and we need to find a way how we can actually make the authentication work for that client. And in that scenario, you can either put a lot of customization in there or none, depending how much you already have and how much you want to pay. As a last scenario, now in here, we don't actually deploy new SharePoint farms over and over again. We actually just want to manage our SharePoint farm with Virtual Machine Manager. So in this scenario, you can actually just add new web front ends and new application servers to the farm, and you can remove them, and you can manage all that either with VMM or with Orchestrator. Once we know what kind of scenario and what kind of architecture we want, we then deal with the Hyper-V templates. Again, that's not really something new. It was already there in Virtual Machine Manager 2008. For the Hyper-V templates, we need two templates. We need a template for the SharePoint server, and we need a template for the SQL server. On the SharePoint server side, we will install the Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1 in the updates. We will install the SharePoint pre-requirements. We'll then install SharePoint 2010. And in the end, any third-party tools or scenario-dependent tools, so any deployment tools that you have, or if you have development tools, if you want to install Visual Studio or SharePoint Designer on there. After that, you sysprep the machine, you go into Virtual Machine Manager, and you actually add the VM template into your VM templates. On the SQL server side, same thing again. We're going to install Server 2008 R2 SP1 plus all the updates you want to have. We install the SQL pre-requirements, which mainly is .NET 4. And then we start to create a image for a standalone 2008 R2 SP1 server. That's a new feature of 2008 R2, I think. And I will show you later on how to do that. We can install the SQL manager if you want to. It's not necessary. I normally add it so our developers can have a look onto it. We can add, again, our third-party tools, any backup agents or antivirus agents that you might have. And then what I always do on the SQL server, I open up the firewall port 1433 so that the SharePoint server later on can connect to the SQL server. Now, you don't have to do it here. You can also do it when you actually deploy the VM using an unintended XML file. It's totally up to you. Last thing that I normally do is I disable UAC. Again, because it's a development environment, I wouldn't do it in production, but it makes it easier for me later on. All right, so once we have the VM templates, we then go on and create the SharePoint service template in VMM. What we need to make sure there is that we start with the SQL tier. So when we deploy the whole SharePoint service template, we need to make sure that the SQL tier will be the first tier that will be deployed. In the tier, we configure the VM hardware profile that we want to assign to it, and we configure the guest OS profile that Adam showed us earlier. And we also configure the SQL server profile to match up with the prepared instance that we did before the sysprep. On the application tier server side, all we need to do is, again, we need to deal with the hardware profile and the guest OS. We can use the same template for the application server and the web front end. And in the end, we need to add a script that will, I will get into more detail later, but I'm going to set up the service template first. And we also need, if you want to have network load balancing, you need to add the network load balancer in here. Cool. So I'm going to now start to create a basic SharePoint service template. Just going to start up my VMM. I'm going to jump over here. So first thing I want to do is create a new service template. Move it over. Give it a name. We want to define a three-tier application this time. Gonna wait for it. And here we go. So the first thing I do is I normally drag in the VM templates into the tiers. So that was our SQL template. I drop in the SharePoint template and give them some names. Then when we actually configure the SQL tier, we can't scale out the SQL tier, so I will disable the scaling in here. And then start configuring the SQL tier. So Adam already guided us through this. We have the different hardware configuration. Again, that's totally up to your spec, what you want to do. We can go into the OS configuration, can specify a computer name if we want to. We can or have to specify the administrator password. Can add a product key in here. If you do not add a product key, it will be installed as a trial. And we can add some roles and features in here. I do not need to add any roles or features in here because all the roles and features are already in my SysSpread SQL template. But what I want to do is I want to join it to domain. Actually specify the credentials in here because I was too lazy. I don't have any application configuration in here, but I do have a SQL Server configuration, or I do need to create a SQL Server configuration. So this SQL Server configuration actually will need to match up with the sysprepped or the prepared SQL image that we prepared on the SQL Server before the sysprep. And I'm going to start up the SQL Server that I deployed and show you how to do this. So this is my SQL Server that is being deployed as part of the SharePoint farm that I'm deploying in the background. Make it easier. Cool. And to install a sysprept SQL. The first thing I'm going to do is I start the normal SQL Server setup. Probably takes a minute. You can go under Advanced, and under Advanced you see image preparation for a standalone instance of SQL Server. Yay! And I can't do it because it's running in the background. So right now, in the background, the SQL Server is still prepared, so I can't start that. I'm going to get back to that in a minute once the SQL Server configuration is finished. But what I can do, I can actually already specify SQL Server configuration in my service template. SQL Server, add a SQL Server deployment. Again, give it a name. The instance name is the instance name that you will later connect to. So the default is MS SQL Server. And the instance ID is what you specify during the image preparation of the SQL Server. So we'll do MMS later on, so type MMS 2012 in here. Product key is the same thing as with the Windows product key. If you do not type in a product key, it will be installed as a trial. So I don't want to add one right now. And the install run as account, same with the joining to the domain. I can specify one in here. Under configuration, I will need to add the media source where when the service instance is getting deployed, where the whole preparation step can find the SQL Server media and the installation files. And I can add some SQL administrators. I can choose Windows authentication or SQL Server authentication. I can choose the SA password via choosing an administrator. Can do some other configurations in here. And I can choose some service run as accounts. Where is it? Disappeared. Anybody see where it went? Right. Just going to use this one. So that's one I prepared earlier. After that, there's nothing else I need to do in the SQL tier. So I can close out of here. Try that again on the SQL Server. Yep. In the application tier, the only thing I need to configure right now would be the hardware configuration, the OS configuration, and I'll get to the application configuration later. Besides that, that's all we need to do in here, and same for the web front end. Hardware configuration and OS configuration. Yep. How far is that? Still doing it. Cool. While I wait for this, I can actually see that my web front end and my application server and the SQL Server have been deployed. So this is the SharePoint service that I started to deploy in the beginning. So I can see that the SQL Server, the web front end, and the application server are deployed. I can see that there is some CPU usage on the SQL Server. And most likely what's happening right now is that SharePoint will be configured in the background. Because I want to show you guys that I actually can scale the web front end as well, I'm going to start deploying the web front end now because it will take about 20 minutes to get there. If I don't start it now, I won't be able to get there. So I'm going to jump back into the VMM console. I'm going to go into my VMs and services and have a look at my deployed services, so I can see the MMS demo. It's still being deployed, but I should be able to scale it out. No, I can't yet. Cool. Damn it, too fast. All right, I'll get back to that in a second. I thought my laptop would be a little bit faster, but it looks like it's still not quite as fast as I thought. While we wait, anybody has any questions about this? Not so far? Cool. So I can't hear you. Can you go onto the microphone, please? Yes. Yep.
You mean just like the bits that you actually you install it, or you install SharePoint and SysPrep? Prep?
No, you only install the SharePoint binary. So just the SharePoint binaries itself, then the service pack. So again, that's just the setup.
Just a package, basically.
Yes,
then
just
you run
just
the PowerShell right behind and
so you don't run the PowerShell now. So the whole configuration will be done via PowerShell.
And PowerShell, right?
Yes, and we don't want to run the configuration yet. So all we do on the SharePoint template is we're going to install the binaries. So that's really just the setup.exe that will install all the file for SharePoint on the server. Then you install the service pack. Again, that will only install the files that are needed for SharePoint on the server. And then the updates, and again, that's the same thing. That means that you do have all the SharePoint binaries or the SharePoint files on the server, but you actually haven't configured anything around SharePoint yet. It's really just the files.
So there is pre-installed, and it's prep it, basically.
So it's basically just a installer that will install and prepare the server for SharePoint.
Okay.
And then afterwards, once you have done all that, you can either run the configuration wizard, or you can run PowerShell scripts to configure the whole SharePoint farm.
Okay.
But that's the second step. So first step would be to install the SharePoint binaries, install the service packs and the cumulative
updates.
My
point is, I didn't know the SharePoint was SysPrep aware, pretty much.
It is. You can't SysPrep the configuration side, but you can SysPrep all the SharePoint side and the binaries because they don't change anything in the system.
Okay, that's new to me, but I guess
cool.
It will work.
All right. Getting back to my SQL server, so I started the setup on my SQL server, accept the license terms. Under feature selection for SharePoint, I normally need the database engine service, and for some SharePoint deployments also need the reporting services, so I select those two. Yes. Yes. So can you just say it again? Sorry.
How the manual installation
yep.
is related to the service template configuration.
So to do all this in the configuration or during the service setup?
I just don't understand why we do manual and we configure service.
Oh, okay. So this part will be done when you actually create the SQL VM template. So you need a virtual machine template, which has the OS installed and the SQL binaries and everything. And what I do is I create a SysPrep version of SQL. So I create an instant ID, a version of SQL that I basically can SysPrep. So I have a SysPrep version of a SQL server that I later then can deploy with VMM. And because I have this SysPrep version of SQL on there, I can then run some configuration scripts with VMM that will then allow me to actually deploy a database engine onto that server.
So just while Marco goes through the SQL install, so there's two things that have come up. One is from the SQL side, what Michael's showing you is that to build an automated deployment of SQL, you go through this installation once, then you SysPrep and bring that VM down. You now have an automated installation of SQL ready to be deployed. You do this once, store it in your library, and then just completely use it again. So he's showing you a one-time thing that you have to do. The second one was around SharePoint. So the SharePoint binaries themselves, if you run SharePoint setup, next, 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 lays the binaries down on the disk, and then it will bring up the config wizard. Don't do it. Cancel, close, wizard gone. Now you've got the binaries laid down in your template, you can SysPrep Windows, shut it down, and now you've got an image that has Windows SysPrepped with all the binaries for SharePoint. You bring the SysPrep image up, and then you run the config wizard either through PowerShell or through the wizard.
After the SysPrep, you run the config through PowerShell.
So once you do the sysprep, you shut the box down, and now you've got a template. Correct. Yep. Absolutely. All we're creating here is a whole series of standardized templates, which is that one's got SQL good to go, that one's got SharePoint good to go. When they come up, VMM will kick in and will say, I'll configure SQL for you. I'll run the PowerShell scripts that configure SharePoint. That's what's happening in reality. Yeah. Just get you all good to go. Question?
The only implementation as far as SQL is clustering.
Yes.
Correct. So, so the question was SQL clustering. So you raise a good point, and it's a very good philosophical debate that we're having at the moment around: is SharePoint part? Is SQL part of the application, or is SQL an application that another application talks to? You can go either way. What we have today is SQL being part of the service template, and that's one way to do it. Alternatively, you could just not have the SQL tier at all. And you've got a big SQL database database cluster over there. And as the app comes up, you just say, it's over there. You could still deploy the DAC pack onto another SQL server. It doesn't need to be part of this. We're just showing you what it looks like all in one. But very easily, you could have a big SQL cluster that you just bring it up and say, use SQL over there. That's fine.
Can you separate, you can have a run building like a SQL cluster, virtual or regular physical?
So SQL in the service template is a standalone, isolated, single install.
So you just take the actually SQL part from the service template.
Correct.
And you have a run.
Yep.
Orchestrator or perhaps, correct?
Absolutely.
Builds the SQL as firstly.
Correct.
Once the SQL is built,
yep.
You call the service template for the remaining tier and use the DAC.
Correct, yep.
The SQL DAC can be data.
Correct. So just to repeat that, what we're talking about is taking SQL out of the service template and having something like either a PowerShell script or an orchestrator runbook or something build SQL in a dynamic fashion for you. Absolutely. You could take the VM that Michael's creating here and just boot it up into Hyper-V or VMware ESX or whatever you're running, bring it up, bring two items up to actually cluster them together and configure that in an automated fashion, then run your service template that says, oh, go talk to SQL over there. You would trigger that probably from Orchestrator and have Orchestrator do the SQL bit, and then have Orchestrator tell VMM to deploy, because you'd want SQL to finish before you started the service template. That absolutely what you're describing is completely there. And what we're really getting into here is sort of poking holes, if you will, a little bit in what service templates can do and what SharePoint can do, but you've got all the tools to do it. You've got PowerShell, you've got Orchestrator, you've got all the images there. It is completely automatable, and what Michael's showing you is how we do it when it doesn't magically just work with other items. Yeah, good questions.
So again, here I'm on the SQL server that I later will use to sysprep for the VM template, and I just wanted to show you that the instant ID that I use in here, we later will use this in the SQL server configuration under the instance ID. Cool. So I'm going to close all this. To my presentation. Okay, cool. So what are the limitations of the service template? And as this fellow already said, I got a jar of Vegemite for you. I'm not going to throw it. So as we already said, there are some limitations around the SQL server tier, and they are around the limited configuration options that we have when we actually deploy the SQL server tier. And they are, for example, the SQL cluster that I can't create a SQL cluster with this, but also things like I normally would move my tempdbs to its own location, and I can't do this within the actual SharePoint or within the actually service template. Is that right, Adam? Again, there's a way if you add some PowerShell in the end. And then, of course, there are some limitations around the web front end and the application server tier, and that's simply that there is no SharePoint application profile. So what we need to do now is we need to find a way to actually automate the whole SharePoint installation. And how do we do it? Well, it's easy, because we all love PowerShell. So in a normal environment, in a normal manual SharePoint installation environment, we would now go into the box, we'd start a PowerShell, and would start running some PowerShell scripts, like this one, to actually create the initial farm, run some more PowerShells afterwards, and then just scale out the whole farm. Our problems with this is that we actually don't want to do this manually, so we do want to have a script. The second problem is that we are not on the SharePoint box during the deployment. And the last one is that we actually don't know anything about the SharePoint environment yet. So we do actually, before we actually build the script, we need to find a way how we can actually get the server names, the service accounts, what kind of SharePoint services should be deployed, what kind of service applications, and all that from our client. Let's talk about the SharePoint script first. So what does the SharePoint script need to be able to do? That's PowerShell foo. What does the SharePoint script need to be able to do? So our requirements are that it needs to be able to create or join an existing SharePoint farm. It needs to have a look if there's already a SharePoint farm, and if so, it will need to join it. We need to be able to provision both the application server and the web front end. We need to be able to deploy the SharePoint services, the service applications, and the features. We need to be able to scale the application service, and we need to be able to move service applications around. We need to be able to create a web application, the site collections, and deploy custom code. So again, that's not new. If you are a SharePoint administrator, you already have some scripts that would do this. What might be new for you is that you now need to be able to find a way how you can customize your script so it can call a customization file that we then could supply to the script so it can deploy the script to our specifications. And again, if you've been around the SharePoint world for a while, that's not nothing new for you. There are a few scripts that can actually do that. There's one really good starting point, which is AutoSP Installer. I put that up here, and I used that for my demo. That will actually do all that already for you. It will give you an XML file that you can use, and you can then go into the XML file and customize the XML file and slipstream it into the deployment. Cool. So once our script is ready, next thing that we need to do is we need to be able to customize that XML file or that configuration file that we want to deploy to the SharePoint environment. And there are multiple ways to actually do that, to actually gather those informations that we want to have in the XML file. You can either use SharePoint workflows, or you can use different HTML forms. I've seen HTML forms around. You could use InfoPath forms, or you can write your own little application that would actually create this XML file for you. After you have all that information, you will need to go into your Active Directory and create the service accounts for each environment and create the URL for the web applications. If you have Orchestrator, you can use Orchestrator to use some runbooks to actually do that for you, and that works normally quite well. We then need to actually grab those service accounts as well and put them into the customization configuration file. Again, we can do that via code. And in the end, we need to create a custom resource package and add it to the VMM library. So this custom resource package will need to contain the SharePoint script that we will need to run. It will need to contain all the configuration files that we want to have so we can actually configure the SharePoint environment to our specifications. And it needs to be in a specific format so that VMM can later run it. I'm going to show it to you probably on my PC. So first thing that I'm going to show you is a little application that I wrote in C# that allows me to create a custom configuration file. And that's something that you will need to write, and you need to write it either in C#, or you're going to create a HTML form that will do that for you. I'm just going to end something. I could choose what kind of services I want to be activated in here and all that. I can choose if I want to have a first web application or not. Enter the URL. Enter the port numbers that I want to have in here. And then generate my scripts. What it actually generates will be something like this, those two configuration files. And this basically has all the information that is unique to the environment that I want to create. It has all the information about the SQL server in there. It has all the information about what kind of services I want to deploy, what servers are actually going to be in use, all the passwords are in there, and white text as well. Everything about the log files, everything that you basically need to create a custom SharePoint solution. Next thing I'm going to show you is the script that I'm using to deploy it. So it's a basic PowerShell script. And again, it will look for the configuration file. Once it got the configuration file, it will then start to deploy the SharePoint farm via PowerShell. Different checks and basically just run through it. And again, you should have some kind of this script already in place if you deploy a lot of SharePoint farms. Now, how do I get this into Virtual Machine Manager? What you need to do in Virtual Machine Manager is to create a custom resource package that you can then import. To create a custom resource package, all you are going to do is you take the folder, and you add .cr to it. And if it wouldn't be open, it would work. Come on. I will then go into my Virtual Machine Manager, into my library. And under Custom Resources, I can import a physical resource. At the Custom Resource, I got my MMS script CR. Browse to the library I want to import it to. And import it. This is my virtual machine library share, where it actually is. You can see it imported it into MMS script CR. If I go into my library and refresh this, you can see the MMS script CR. And now that I have this custom resource with the script and with the configuration file in VMM, I can actually go back into my service template and instruct the application server and the web front end to use that custom resource and to actually run a script that is within that custom resource. Cool. So here's the service template that we created earlier. if I go in our application tier, under application configuration, I said add a new script. I say I want to have it post install. I'm going to go to script resource packages, and I can now choose my MMS script. I can choose a run as account as well. Cool. Now what I actually want to run with Hinder script is I want to open a command prompt, and then under parameters I'm actually going to specify the command file that I want to run. So if I look back into my share, it will be this command. If I go in here, that's basically what the command says. So it basically imports the configuration file and then starts the PowerShell script. Adam, can you explain why you have to add Q and C?
Q is quiet, and C is
command. Cool. So Adam said, "What I'm gonna the parameters that I'm gonna that I'm putting in front of is in front of the command slash Q means it's quiet, and slash C means command. So I'm gonna run that command." Under OS compatibility, I actually will choose the OSs to which I can deploy this application. Because I specified that my servers are 64-bit Windows servers 2008 R2s, I'm going to add this in here as well. Bam. After doing it at the application tier, I'll do the same thing on the web front end as well. And here I'm just going to choose one that I did before. Adam?
So the question was, is there a difference between running it pre or post? So if you run it pre, it's going to try and run it before anything else has happened. So we run it post, it's after all other commands. What's happening before that script? So it's installing out, configuring all the roles of the operating system. So a pre-script means the box comes up, and it's the first thing that it does. Post means do everything else and then run. So if you did it as a pre-script, then there's a chance that your script's going to want to call something that hasn't finished yet. So a post-script means let everything else finish and then run. Yeah, if you might want to run a prescript, is really useful if there's something you want to configure before you install a role or before you install something else. It might be that you've got to put some files in place and that kind of thing, or you make an alteration, maybe you do a group policy refresh or something that triggers something.
The new machine
yeah, it's like first thing that happens. Yeah.
Cool. The last thing I wanted to show you in the actual service template is how to add a load balancer. That's easily done. All we have to do is add a load balancer up here. The load balancer is specified in my cloud or in my fabric. I actually want to add it to the web front end here. Mm-hmm. And create a connector. Because I want to have a network load balanced, I will need to go into the web front end tier and actually add the network load balancing tools to the web front end tier, which I will also do now.
Actually, just while that's saving, the network load balancer in here is like a software load balancer that's built into Virtual Machine Manager, so it allows you to do it inside the service template. You could also do this at a hardware load balancer level as well. So if you've got hardware load balancers, you don't need to do it in the service template. You'd configure your hardware load balancer to do all the work. This is a nice, easy way. I'm not sure whether this is a production level thing or that's going to be your comfort level. You know, if you've got a really a lot of hardware load balancers, transactionals, they do lots of things about replaying and so forth, then a hardware load balancer might be better for you. But if you want to do some basic network load balancing, then we give it to you out of the box. Okay, so it's there. You can use it. If it meets your needs, perfect. If you need more, then the hardware load balancer is the way to go. Correct, yeah. So that's letting Windows know that it's been load balanced, and otherwise when you scale out, nothing happens. That should be in the FAQ, actually. It's the most common thing that people are like, I put a load balancer in my service template, but it doesn't work. Did you tick the box? No, there it is. Someone needs to write a blog post on that.
What are the tools? Network load balancing.
It's in a, isn't it a role?
Not desktop, no. Yes.
Second from the top.
Oh, yes, there we go.
There you go.
Awesome. So these are added to my web front end service template as well. And that's basically good. Now I could deploy this service template, and actually afterwards I will have a fully configured SharePoint environment for me. I'm going to go back to my actual application farm that I deployed earlier. I'm on the application server right now. So you can see that CA is up and running right in here. I can go into my system settings and I can have a look at the actual farm configuration. Have a look at my servers.
This
I can see that I have the application server, the web front end, and the SQL server in here.
This is all running on Michael's laptop, so yeah, please excuse the slight lag. The laptop's working rather
fine. And that's the website here. And if I go over to the web front end, tick, tick. I'll be able to show you that the website is up here as well. The only thing that I haven't shown you right now is the network load balancing, but my computer is getting really, really slow right now, so I don't want to edit or else it's just going to crap out. However, what I can show you is that if I do go into the network load balancing tools in here, you can see how that it is already set up. After it loaded itself.
There it is.
There you go. And if I would scale out the web front end, it would then automatically add the secondary web front end to the network load balancer. Are we going with time? 7 minutes.
So we've got 7 minutes left. Was that useful, guys? Did that help a lot?
Yes.
Would you like a coffee? Yeah, I'd say thank you to Michael.
Thank you.
Michael built all of that himself. I had nothing to do with this. All right. All I did was the slides. Michael's also going to publish an article on this, and we'll put it out on the blog site and show you how it's all built so you can see how it goes. I think showing there's a little more complexity to the service template, but it's absolutely possible. All the tools are there. It's just a matter of connecting all of those dots. And yes, there's some automation. Yes, there's some PowerShell, but it's absolutely doable. And we get that it's a little complex, and we'll try and work on making it simpler. But you can definitely run A, SharePoint in a service template, and B, you can automate it and use this. And when you do the scale out, when you do the, I want to stand up a demo lab, I want to stand up a new site, you want to roll it out in different geos, whatever it is, what the service template's given you is the automation to say, I mean, Michael did it on his laptop in under an hour, right? So if you've got real servers, A, it's going to be faster, and B, you can stand up stuff really quickly. So it takes around about 12 minutes to do the operating system level rollout, just sysprep images, physically copying an 8 gig file to the drive and booting it up from the sysprep, and then after that's the installation of SQL and SharePoint. But having all of these scripts, having the automation, you can put it all into PowerShell, you can put it all into Orchestrator, you can have a one-button sort of form where someone fills out a web form with the details that Michael's got, builds the script, runs it all out, and does it. So we just wanted to show that it was possible. We get that, that a lot of people want to do it. It's not, the number one workload I get asked about is, can I do SharePoint in a private cloud in a service template? The answer is yes, and that's how you do it. Okay, so I'll hand back to Michael to close out.
I think that's basically it, yes. Yeah. If anybody else has any more questions.
Any questions? Yeah, it's a lot of content in an hour, right? Yeah. Question? Can you have what, sorry?
Fast search. Yes, in the end, fast search is the same thing. It's all PowerShell. It's a lot more complicated, yes. It's a lot more complicated. It depends on your PowerShell skills. If you have the skills to deploy fast search and configure fast search with PowerShell, yes, definitely.
So, you go, oh, sorry, yes, Karen?
I have installed Fast Search before, and I have installed Fast Search with PowerShell before. I have not done Fast Search as a service template.
Sounds like, part two kind of session, doesn't it? Techie in North America.
In the end, it's all PowerShell, so as long as we can do it with PowerShell, we can do it as a service template.
So guys, thank you very much. Michael's going to be around for the rest of the event. Please come and see him if you've got questions. And I just want to say thank you very much to Michael again for doing that. So. Thank you very much.